How is everybody today? Blessed? Amen. Wow, it looks like we just emptied the room all of a sudden. Okay, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. What a wonderful day today, isn't it? Beautiful sunshine. The weather's awesome. So, if you grab your Bibles, I want you to look at one little verse with me to begin with. And look at Luke 1:37. One short little verse, Luke 1:37. Some of you might have it memorized. It says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." How many of y'all believe that? Raise your hands. With God, nothing will be impossible. We believe that, don't we? Yep. We believe that because with God, nothing will be impossible. God can do whatever he wants. He created everything that exists, didn't he? It's not impossible for him at all. Not even a tiny, tiny bit. But I got to tell you, sometimes we don't see ourselves in that light. So look at this. It says in Luke 18:27, I'll just read it to you. But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So sometimes we see things as a man on the earth that things are impossible for us. But for God, they're absolutely possible. And I will tell you, as long as we look at ourselves as though we are just men and women on the earth, then there will be a lot of things that are impossible for us. Do you agree? There really are. But we're not just men and women on the earth. How many of you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? So, was there any sin he did not pay the price for? None. None whatsoever. Is there anything that the devil has the authority or the right to place on you and me anymore? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know what? There is also a verse in the Bible. Let's look at Mark 9:23. I love these verses. This is Jesus talking. Ready? Mark 9:23, and it says, "Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.'" Right? So with men, there's a lot of things that are impossible. But we've been born again. We're children of the Most High God. And he's telling us that if you believe, and he used the word can in there, which I really love. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many of y'all believe that's true? So then when the Bible says that if you tell a sycamore tree to uproot itself and be planted in the sea, or if you tell the mountain to uproot and go be planted in the sea, that if you speak out of your mouth and believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say, right? How many of y'all believe that? We all say we believe. Isn't that great? We all agree. We all believe. We're done. Let's go home. I'll close in prayer. Amen? But here's the rub. We say all of that is true. And I'm telling you, we're convinced. We'll go to our grave and agree that that's absolutely true. But then when you say something, does it always happen for you? Yes or no? The no's are coming up. No's are popping up. Why? What's going on? What's happening? Do you actually believe? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. So what is getting in the way of you believing that by his stripes you were healed? Or that if you tell sickness to leave your body, that it has to leave? Or if you tell pain to leave your body, why does it not obey you sometimes? I'm glad you asked. Praise the Lord to give me an opportunity to share. Hallelujah. So, ready? This is the fun part. Thank you, Lord. Mitten Williams, who you guys all know, who's a teacher here, was sharing a story this morning about his puppy. And I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity for me to give highlights of what he was saying to the room. He's gotten a new puppy, and he and his wife are raising this puppy. And this puppy is going through puppy stages in life, okay? And he is training his dog to obey him. Isn't that great? How many of y'all had an animal that you had to train or that you own? Okay, how many have an animal that doesn't necessarily obey you? All right. So if your dog doesn't listen to you, why should the pain in your body? Just saying. It's you got to have authority in what you're saying. When you believe, you have authority. Okay? So I'm not talking about when you raise a dog, you got to be mean to the dog to force it to do something. But when you decide that you're in charge of this creature's life, it belongs to you. And now it's created and exists at your pleasure. When you get that your dog is created and exists in your house for your pleasure, that's why you have the dog. The dog has to submit to your will. And so how do we get puppies to submit to our will? We train them. So now let's talk about training for just a quick second. What does it mean to train a puppy? You need something. First of all, you need clear direction. You got to know what the outcome is, how you want that dog to live in your presence. See, it's like a child that's untrained. It's grievous for a parent when their child is untrained in public. It's very grievous. They bring shame on the parent if your child is misbehaving. Your dog will bring shame on you if you bring your dog into public or you have company over to your house and your dog is lifting its leg in the house or it's climbing on people's laps that don't want it on their laps or jumping up on them. People don't like that. So you train your dogs to not do that. Is that right or wrong? So that they behave in the company of your presence. And hopefully all the time they learn it. So the way you do it is first you have to have an objective of what you want your dog to do. How do you want your dog to be in your presence? Secondly, you have to have clear commands. Clear commands. You have to be able to say exactly what you want the dog to do, and you use the same command with that dog until communication has taken place. This is important. Communication must take place. In other words, that dog's mind is not trained yet on focusing on what you want and what you say. It's focusing on what it wants and what it says. Okay? And a lot of people let their dogs live that way. And then they bring shame upon the owners. But if you get to the place that you teach the dog to pay attention to you and what you say, this communication will start taking place between you. That's why trainers have you do certain assignments and tasks repeatedly with your animal to get it into habitually learning what you want, learning what you want, learning what you want. When he gets it, then it's just reinforcing what he knows, reinforcing what he knows, reinforcing what he knows, right? And then you've established a communication and a behavior in your pet. Are you with me so far? Consistency. You have to do it consistently until the dog, it's become a way or a pattern of living for the dog. I didn't think I would be training dog training today, but that's how it works. So then, You have an objective, you have a clear command, and then you have consistency. You keep working with that dog on a regular basis, rewarding it, loving it, enjoying its company. Attitude has a lot to do with it. When the dog is happy, feels loved and nourished and accepted, it's eager to please you, right? So therefore, you make it fun for the dog, and the dog wants to do it more and more and more. Okay? After that's done, and you've got to the beginning stage that your dog knows how to listen to you, and you've connected with your dog, you can start making your dog do things. Isn't that wonderful? Then someone else in your house decides they want to tell your dog what to do. And the dog ignores them entirely and doesn't do what they want. But the dog was trained. They say the same word you said. And guess what? The dog doesn't do anything they want. Why is that? Because they have not established their authority with that dog yet. They have to do the very same thing you did until the dog realizes, oh, I have to pay attention to this person too. Once the dog realizes I have to pay attention to you also, then he will obey or she will obey both people in the house. Are you with me? With God, nothing is impossible. He's proven to the devil that it's over. It's done. Jesus has established it. It's a completed and finished thing. Guess what? He may not listen to you yet. It's very possible you haven't established your authority with it yet. The pain might not leave your body because it doesn't believe you're serious yet. It doesn't believe that you have authority over it yet. So it doesn't obey you yet. You haven't established your authority in that realm with your body. Once you get communication with your body and you make it go one time, guess what? Doesn't mean it's not going to come back. Just because you got its attention once doesn't mean it believes you. You're always going to have to do it. So you got to be what? Consistent. You have a clear objective, you have a command, and then you operate in consistency. You continually keep your body pain-free, continually, if pain is in your body. And that means an ongoing maintenance until who's ever bringing that pain to your body realizes they're never going to get in and they stop coming. Are you with me? I have fed animals in my yard, and then, or they've eaten out of my bird feeder, the squirrels. They come and they eat out of my bird feeders. Do you know when I chase off the squirrels, they leave? They absolutely leave when I chase them off. It's great. Guess what? They learn my patterns. They learn when I'm out there and when I'm not, when I'm home, when I'm not. They know, and they watch my patterns. And guess what? They devour my bird seed or any seed that I got out there if I don't have a way of keeping it away from them and protecting it from them. And they will come back again and again and again. Same with the pain. Same with whatever demonic interference is taking place in our lives. It learns your patterns. It tests you. I've had sicknesses in my body, and you know what? I tell them to go, go, go. They finally go after maybe a few minutes, and I get them out of my body. Guess what happens? At night while I sleep, they jump on me. And if I don't rebuke it right then, just like I would when I'm awake, it gets a foothold in my life. If you relax on it, it'll keep coming. Does this make sense? So everything is possible to you if you can believe that it is and then operate in that authority that's been given to us. Amen? Does that make sense? So, how many of you are looking forward to making the devil obey you? Boy, there's a few reluctant people in this room. You guys can't see it. There's a few reluctant people. I bet there's people reluctant everywhere. So here's the thing. Jesus paid the price for all of sin. One sacrifice for all times. It's over. It's dealt with. It's done. Colossians 2:15, you want to put that up? Colossians 2:15 is a wonderful verse that we all need to lay hold of. If we don't know it, we need to learn it. It's having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's Jesus. Did he disarm the principalities and powers? Principalities and powers are all authorities, all powers that are in charge. God gave him a name above every single name, that at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord, right? He has that. And he put us there with him. You guys know that, right? He put us there with him. So if we're there with him and he's above all principalities and powers and he's disarmed all principalities and powers, is there anything anywhere that should not obey you if it's within your scope of authority? No. So then you know what it has to do with? A clear objective, a clear command, and consistency. Communication has to take place. I remember a couple of my dogs, I had to get their attention that I was serious. I had to get their attention that I was serious. When I got their attention that I was serious, then we can communicate. But until they understand what I'm expecting of them, they have a real difficult time fulfilling that request or demand, right? The devil has to know you're serious. Pausing deliberately on purpose. Think about this for a minute. So therefore, is the problem that God will or is not doing something? No, it's not. The problem is whether or not I'm going to believe. If nothing is impossible, then at what level am I operating in that nothing is impossible realm? Okay, so let's go to round two. Let's go a little bit further out there, if you don't mind. Sometimes we think on just a natural plane on the sickness and the disease in our body. We think on physical cells in a body, medicines, surgeries, recovery time, playing healing scriptures, soft music in the back, getting other people to make meals for us and to help us along the way. And we think on a very, very natural level. Okay? But that's the world does that doesn't know God. And we that know God. That's a natural way of dealing with things. But we're supernatural. So there's authority and power that the natural world cannot touch. So it's not in doctors, it's not in medicine, it's not in eating the right foods, getting enough sleep, drinking plenty of water, and getting some exercises. You need to do those things. But that's not the end all of who you are and who I am. There's an entirely another realm that we also are participating in and that we live in. It's called the spiritual realm. Yes or no? Who's spiritual in this room? If you're not, I need to get you born again. You need to be born from God. That God is your Father. That you're born from your Heavenly Father, right? So if we're spiritual, now we exercise on an entirely different level. So the realm of possibilities for us are now in the scope of how God looks at things. Right? Some of us need practice operating in that realm. Who needs a little work in that area? Only a couple of people. Great, great. The rest of you got it. Excellent. So now what we need to do is consistently work at it. Right? So Here's the fun part. You guys ready to have some fun? How do you exercise spiritual authority? Shout it out, anybody. I'll repeat what you say. As you notice, I'm not shouting anything out right now for you that are watching the recording. Shout it out. How do you exercise spiritual authority? Speak. Practice. You need a situation, don't you? You need a situation, don't you? So that you can do something. So how many of you have a pain in your body? Raise your hand. Nobody? One person? Okay. How many else have something else in your body? Okay. So what we need to do is speak to that something. But don't speak yet. Let me qualify it. You got that puppy. Okay. If you just take a puppy and say, sit, and the puppy doesn't know what you mean, will he sit? No. Doesn't know how to sit yet. If the thing in your body is not used to listening to you, you got to get its attention, right? You got to be serious that you actually want it to obey you. Are you with me? You got to want it to obey you. So before we address it, let's take a second and let's think about it as you hear me talking. Are you really ready to make it go? Are you ready to make it go? Or are you expecting God to do it? Let's think for a second. Oh, this is so exciting stuff. I love this stuff. Are you going to make it go? All things are possible to you. If you believe, whatsoever thing you say, believing in your heart, you have it. So now, that thing in your body, are you ready to make it go? Those of you who raised your hands, raise your hand again if you are. You're ready to make it go. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So now, Jesus says that all authority has been given to him, right? So he's given us his name to use, right? That means that the authority of Jesus is given to you and me. We can operate in that authority, yes or no? Yes, we say that all the time. So let's do it, shall we? All right, so I want you to, if it's a thing in your body, put your hand on it. Okay? If it's not, just get a picture of it in your mind. I want you to see the result you want. If it's a something, then the something's not there. If it's an organ or something that's not producing right, see it producing right. Okay? And then we're all going to do it at the same time, so you don't need to listen to anybody else. But I want you to tell the thing, name it, and then tell it what you want it to do. If it's go or stop or what. Ready? One, two, three. Pain, leave now in Jesus' name. Eyes, see now in Jesus' name. Body, be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop. Look back up here. How many of you got results the first time? Okay. The puppy may not get your attention. It may not know what you're talking about the first time. Do you stop training the puppy if it doesn't obey you the first time? Why? Because he's not allowed to pee in the house. He's not allowed to do number dookie in the house. He's not allowed to. So what do? You stay consistent. Now, what else do? You're always aware of where that dog is in your house, don't you? You're always keeping a tab on that thing because he may have what we call an accident, right? That means that your attention has to be fully on that thing regularly as you are getting it to obey you. can't be hit and miss. You got to be consistent. If you actually want it to go, you have to make it go. That means you have to be relentless against it. Relentless. And listen, don't do this. God, you can make it go in 1 second if you wanted to. We already know there's nothing that's impossible with God. We're talking about you and me now, though. Nothing is impossible for you if you believe. Nothing is impossible at all. Whatever thing you say, believing in your heart, you'll have it if you don't doubt. Right? Sometimes you have a puppy or a dog that doesn't do what you say, and it would be pretty normal for you to say, I don't think this puppy will ever learn. And then a trainer comes in, and the puppy just like automatically does what the trainer says, and you've been with this dog for a few weeks already. Because they have absolute confidence that the dog must obey them. It's just a part of their vibe now because they've got that authority with all dogs. Because they own it. As you start owning your authority, you will see not only the stuff in your body go, but the stuff in other people's body go. But you got to own your authority and not feel defeated or powerless and have it roll over onto God. And then, God, this isn't working. You know, you can't say that about your puppy or your dog. It isn't working. I've trained horses. They do what you tell them to do just like dogs do. Pigs will do what you tell them to do just like dogs do. Birds will do what you tell them to do just like dogs do. Cats do exactly what I tell them to do. I don't tell them to do anything that's beyond their scope. But I understand my cat. I realize that the cat has a deficiency that a dog doesn't have. The cat has a delay mechanism in obedience. I've learned that about my cats. When it comes to a bird or a mouse or a chipmunk or a squirrel, they have hyper awareness senses. When it comes to obeying me, they have selective hearing. But I know my cats now, and when I tell them to do something, I just got to wait 10 seconds or 20 seconds, and then they'll do it. Once I've realized that's how the communication works, I don't have a problem with my cats anymore. They do what I ask them to do because we've learned communication, right? Same with our bodies. Love our bodies, nourish our bodies, feed our bodies, give them rest, take care of them, love on them. And then when there's something in there that shouldn't be there, we need to tell it to go in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Isn't this exciting stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you got to work it, right? It's not magic. You have the authority. Just like you can have your puppy or your dog obey you. And then you can have the neighbor's puppy and dog obey you. And then you can have everybody's dog obey you. Because you've built yourself up that you have that authority that just comes with you wherever you go. It comes with practice. A clear objective, a clear command, consistency. You've got it. You get the end of your reward. All right, praise the Lord. Let's move on from there. What else can we do to be healed in our bodies? All right, I'll think of something then if nobody else will. How about worshiping God? Worshiping God, praising God, being in the presence of God, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you want better results, include God with you. How many of you know how to practice the presence of God? Several. Excellent. How many of you do practice the presence of God? Working on a relationship with Him. How many of you, when you ask God a question, He answers you that you understand in a way that you understand? Excellent. How many of you, when you're facing a difficulty, ask God how to handle it? And if He says just speak to it, then speak to it, right? So how many of you, when you're dealing with whatever thing you just chose when you're sitting in this room, whatever it was, have talked to God about it. Why does it linger? Has he answered you? Some of you, yes. Some of you, no. Okay? If you're not hearing an answer, what needs to take place? This is important. What needs to take place? Clearer communication. You need clearer communication because you're not getting your answer, right? So how can we get clearer communication from God? Praising him, singing and worshiping him. That's one way. Reading our Bible and let a verse come to light in front of us. And then we get an aha moment by a revelation coming off the Word of God. How else? Speaking in tongues. Good one. Praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, and building yourself up in your most holy faith. Being built up on the inside. And there's another way. One more way that's a really good way. It's usually one of the last ways people like to approach God. Fasting. Denying yourself. Denying yourself, putting down your flesh, is a wonderful way. What it does not do is it does not amplify God's voice, but it seems like it does. What it does, it puts down the other voices and the other draws that are in us. Okay? How many of you fast in your lifestyle? Good. Good. So as we do that, that puts down our flesh, and then we can hear God more clearly. So those of you that haven't heard God in that area, you might want to try another way of talking to God. You might want to try praying in tongues. You might want to try singing and worshiping. You might want to try fasting and prayer. Communication has to take place. Are you with me? The dog has to, you have to make that connection with your dog that he has to obey you. When you make that connection and you get his brain focusing on you, his attention on you, then you've got that communication that can take place and he can start doing what you ask him to do. When that thing in your body realizes you actually are coming after it, then you go after it and you make it leave. If you don't know how to make it leave, try another way, try another way, try another way. Talk to God, ask him about it. But it has to go, and you have to figure out the way. How exciting is this? It puts all the responsibility squarely on us. Now, if you don't want to exert that energy, if you don't want to be consistent, if you don't want to have clear objectives, guess what? You don't have to. Isn't that wonderful? The dog will still stay at your house, will still eat your food. He might run around. He might leave your yard and go to other people's yards. But he'll eat your food, and he'll be your animal around you. He may not do anything that you ask of him, but he'll still be your animal. So your body is still your body. It may not obey you when you want it to, but it's still your body, and you have a right for that. But if you really want to make the devil leave, he's been disarmed. And he has no right to put any sicknesses or diseases on you. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has paid the price for the sins of the whole world. And we're now sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we've been given power and authority. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. We are born again, spirit-filled believers. We have the authority to operate in this realm. It's a matter of whether or not we will exercise the authority we've been given with consistency and clear objectives. Are you with me? How exciting is this? It's really exciting. Because the thing is, you need to do it. So, here's some fun. Sometimes the pain in your own body is tough. Okay? Because you feel it and it hurts and maybe you don't have the victory. I'll give you a couple of examples. I used to work for another ministry and my job was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I would take people after the minister would pray for them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'd take them in the back, answer their questions, and give them a book that this minister wrote. Okay? And I would have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I got to minister to and answer their questions and all this stuff. And some people were not able to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit because of bad teachings or doctrines that they've gotten or the denomination that they came out of. And so here's what I would do with them. Instead of asking them to speak in tongues, I ask them, are you willing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? They say yes. I say, are you willing to be a fool for a minute? Yes. Are you willing to do something that to you it doesn't seem like it will work? Yes. Okay. I said, let's sing now then in the Holy Spirit. Let's sing in tongues. And we started singing together in tongues. And these people, one by one, poop, 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 were able to sing in tongues. Next thing you know, they're free. Why? Because it wasn't even on their radar to be baptized in the Holy Spirit by singing. Wasn't even on their radar. There was no resistance to it whatsoever. So boom, they were able to receive because they had a natural block. Sometimes in our own bodies, we have set up natural blocks of fear, unbelief, doubt, inferiority, whatever, that it makes it a little harder for us. So here's what you can do. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, right? Did he? He did. For those of you that have, he did. And the fig tree obeyed him. He had faith towards God. So we can do the same thing. Why don't you go out in your yard and curse a weed? Practice with the weeds in your yard. Or for a flower to bloom. For a plant to do well that hasn't been doing well. Speak to it. Tell it to do well. Operate in your supernatural authority. See, what happens is we settle down like oil and vinegar in the salad dressing. And if we stop agitating the solution, it will settle down into two separate categories, the oil and the vinegar, right? So what we need to do is stir it up so that the oil and the vinegar work together for your salad dressing. Sometimes if we don't get stirred up, our spiritual authority and who we are in the spirit gets separated from our natural authority and who we are on the earth. And then we start living from the natural authority and everything and we forget of our spiritual authority and who we really are. So we need to call it stir it up. Stir up your faith. Stir up the gifts of the Spirit that are in you. You need to stir them up and activate them and use them. So you can do that by praying for other people, commanding things to leave in other people, speaking to the plants, speaking to the weeds. You can do all kinds of wonder things. You can tell the rain, no, hold, leave, skies clear. You can practice those things. So are you allowed to speak to the weather, yes or no? Are you allowed to speak to plants, yes or no? Are they supposed to obey you, yes or no? Yes. So therefore, practice it. Because there's no pain in that. It's about authority. Do I have this authority or not? If I do have this authority, then you operate in it. Are you with me? How exciting is this? I'm telling you, can't wait to go do it. How many of you have ever talked to a plant and cursed a plant? Amen, several. How many of you have ever talked to a plant to get it to bloom and bear good fruit? Amen. My wife says, I have authority over everything except flies. Flies don't obey me for some reason. I say, well, because they're the ones that are closest to the devil. He's the Lord of the flies. So that's right, Beelzebub. So they'll be a little more resistant possibly for you. But you know, here's one for me. Bees, wasps, hornets absolutely do not bother me. They'll come right in, they'll look me right in the eye, I'll look them right in the eye, and they'll go right away. They'll fly around, they'll do their things. Nothing here, and off they go. My wife, they chase her down. Chase her down, she gets the bottle with the stuff that squirts forever, and everything around us. Why? Because they chase her down. They don't care about me at all, not the slightest bit. Why? Because there's absolutely no fear of them in me, none. Now, if I stepped on one, or if I stepped in a hornet's nest, of course, they're going to defend their property. But nope, they don't, because I don't have any fear of that. The areas that I've practiced in, I get much better results than in the areas that I don't practice in. If you noticed in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Plural gifts, plural healings. So find your area where the Holy Spirit gives you faith in your area and exercise your area, your domain that he's given you confidence in, and build that confidence in that arena and then use that for other people. Does that make sense? The Bible says the Holy Spirit's given gift of miracles. How many of you operate in the gift of miracles? Raise your hand. Two. All right. Not so many people want to operate in miracles. All right. How about in the gift of interpretation of tongues? How many have the gift of interpreting when somebody speaks in tongues? Not so many. One. Not so many. How many of you have the gift of giving? You believe that God gives you finances so that you can finance godly projects. One. Two. Good. Three-ish. Four-ish. Okay? Great. So every one of us has been given gifts by God. What's yours? And you need to operate in it and flourish in that area that he's given to you, because you're supernatural. Stir yourself up, shake yourself, and mix the oil and the vinegar together. Mix the natural and the spiritual and operate from the spiritual realm and see the results. Isn't this exciting? So here's a little experiment. Do you like doing experiments? Besides, you can talk to your roses to bloom. You can talk to your plants to grow. You can curse the weeds in your yard. You can even tell the clouds to clear. Have a clear objective, what you want to accomplish. Have a clear command by commanding it, and have communication with it. Make it obey you. Be serious and stay on it until the results occur. Staying locked onto it until the results occur. If you have the puppy, you're constant. If the puppy walks off, you go find that puppy, don't you? Because it might piddle. Right? So you stay on it because you know the possibility is there because he's untrained. The same thing with whatever you want to speak to or get to obey you. It's going to do what it wants to do until you stay on it and stay on it and stay on it and correct it until it obeys. All right? You'll have much more success. And the last thing is that praying for somebody else is sometimes easier than praying for yourself. And if you have an issue in your body, it absolutely does not disqualify you from removing that very same issue in somebody else's body. It absolutely does not. We have very, We have a lot of examples of world leaders, not leaders, but spiritual leaders who have died from sicknesses in their bodies, but yet they were used by God to heal thousands, if not more than thousands of people. Amen. The devil still wants to attack. The devil still wants to destroy. The devil still wants to kill. It's who he is. We have to be actively vigilant against him. Vigilant. So let me ask you this question, last one. Is sickness, pain, ever have a right in any person's body? No. He doesn't have a right to even work in the ungodly people. He has no right. Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, stripped them of their authority for all mankind. Don't be under this misnomer. If they're not a Christian, they should suffer. No, they suffer because they're not a Christian. They don't understand the authority that's been given to them. So they can't exercise it so the devil can take advantage of them. Okay? But we as a Christian have a right to remove it out of everybody. He never has a right to put it on anybody. It's good to ask the Holy Spirit what he would want you to do and to have him lead you, though, in whatever it is you're going to do. Partner with him, fellowship with him, and walk with him as you explore how to operate in the authority of spiritual things. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for all these things that you've given to us. Father, that nothing is impossible to us who believe. That whatsoever thing we say, believing in our heart, that we've received, will have it, Lord. Father, I ask for the revelation of this to be expanded in the hearts and the minds of the people that have heard this teaching today, Lord Jesus, that we would take it seriously, that we would speak to the things that we want to leave, Father, the things we want to be fixed, Father, that our faith would be increased, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that, Father, that liberty, Father, would go before us to have boldness and confidence in the authority that you've given to us while we're on the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask for people to start speaking to things, plants, the weather, whatever, their animals, their flowers, whatever it is, Father, that they can start practicing to speak to pain, to leave, to sickness, to go, to demons, to leave, to operate in their spiritual things, for blind eyes to be open, for ears to be open. Father, whatever it is, for organs to operate properly, Lord Jesus. Father, whatever it is, Father, that we would have our attention on it until we get that result. And we go and go and go until we've accomplished what it is we're there for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.